Good evening. If I were as good as Steve, I'd somehow take Levi's theme and then preach a sermon on how to, you know, make sure your wife stays happy. But I'm not. So good to be with you all. As I mentioned at the end of this morning's assembly, I'm going to be preaching this evening on how to be an encouragement to others, some ways that we can be more encouraging to one another. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Ephesians 2, verse 19. We see that Paul writes, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone," verse 21, "in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit." You know, one of the missions that God has left us with here on this earth for those who would call themselves disciples of Christ is to help grow and build the church. So how do we do that? How do we grow and build the church? I'm not talking about just numerically. We know how that happens, where we go out and preach and proclaim Christ to those who are lost in their sins. That's numerically. But what about those that are within the fold? We should be growing daily and helping one another grow daily, to grow into this building that we read about in Ephesians chapter 2. Well, one of the ways that we do that, we read about all the time in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 23. "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." We're supposed to be encouraging one another. We're supposed to come together like this, and we're supposed to stimulate one another to love and to good deeds, the writer of Hebrews tells us. I think it goes without saying that God knew what He was doing when He gave us this establishment of the church. And we say all the time that the church is what helps us stay saved. And we come together and we encourage one another. We read scriptures to edify ourselves, to educate ourselves. And we also reprove and rebuke one another when we see each other erring in our ways. God knew what He was doing when He set the church up. It's a support group. It's nearly impossible, I think, for us to make it to heaven without those brothers and sisters sitting to your left and to your right, encouraging you and helping you get there. And so how can we do a better job of this, of encouraging one another? There's a character in the Bible I want to look at briefly this evening that I think exemplifies some ways that we can encourage one another here today. In fact, when we're first introduced to this character in Acts chapter 4 and verse 36, we learn that his name, translated, means "son of encouragement." Of course, "son of" means possessing the characteristic of encouragement. Of course, I'm talking about Barnabas. I want to look at three specific ways in which Barnabas was an encouragement to others and see if we can find that application in our own lives. The first way that I think that we can be an encouragement to others by looking at the example of Barnabas is by giving of ourselves to others. And when I say give of ourselves, I'm talking about two specific things. One is give of our time to one another. It's one of the most valuable possessions that we have is our time. We're not making any more of it. We're not getting any more of it. It's a valuable commodity that we sometimes waste on our own selfish pleasures. But giving of our time to others is a way we can encourage. But not just giving of our time, but giving of our means. Giving of our possessions. Giving monetary funds or support in materialistic ways is a way to encourage others. We see an example of Barnabas doing that in Acts chapter 4. But before we get to that specific example, let's set the background up for why he did this. In Acts chapter 2, we all know that it was the day of Pentecost when the apostles stood before several hundreds, maybe even thousands of people, and proclaimed the good news to those who would hear. And we understand that this feast of Pentecost, this day of Pentecost, the Jews who were able to were required to travel to the city of Jerusalem to celebrate this day of Pentecost. And so it could be that on this day of Pentecost, during this celebration of this feast, that the population in Jerusalem doubled, tripled, just more thousands and thousands of people coming from all reaches of the region. In fact, we read about where all these people were from in verse 9 of Acts chapter 2. Verse 9 and 10 and 11, there were Parthians there and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, on and on and on. So all these people were coming to Jerusalem from all different areas. And so we see that the good news was proclaimed. And we see in verse 42 of Acts chapter 2 that 3,000 souls were saved. Verse 41 and verse 42, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And so you can see how there could be a need that would arise from this. These people come to Jerusalem. Maybe they're not planning on staying very long just to celebrate the day of Pentecost. But now there's this new and exciting thing taking place of the gospel and the good news and this new message that's being preached. And so, verse 43, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. Many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. They began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have a need. So there's this amazing thing that's happening in Jerusalem, and people want to stay around for that. And this need arises, but people were selling their possessions and sharing them with whoever had a need. Skip over to Acts chapter 4. We see a similar situation. Starting in verse 32, the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. And with great power, the apostles were giving witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales, lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need. So there was a need, and there was a way that the needs were met, people selling their possessions and laying them at the apostles' feet. And now we're introduced to Barnabas here in verse 36. Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement, and who owned a tract of land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Barnabas wanted to partake of this good work of helping others, selling of his own possessions in order to help others. And I put to you that one of the reasons he's called the son of encouragement, because he recognized that giving of your own means, giving of your materialistic means to help others, is a way to encourage people. And a thing to point out, we just read in verse 32 through 34 that it seemed like that maybe he didn't even need to do this. It seems like that the gifts were overflowing, that the gifts were so abundant. And it says that verse 34, there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land and houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales. So there may not have even been a need at the time that Barnabas did this very thing. But what did he do? He wanted to partake of this good work to be an encouragement to others. Sometimes when it comes to our own giving, giving of ourselves, giving of our time, our money, whatever it is that we may have at our disposal, we may say, well, they already have enough, and you know, I really don't have much to give anyway, so I'll just sit this one out. But we can learn from Barnabas' example and give anyway, not to just relieve the needs of the people, but to be an encouragement to them. Meeting people's physical needs is a way to encourage others. You know, we just recently, as a congregation, sent money down to the Southside Church in Gonzales, Louisiana. And I wanted to read, if I can pull it back up, I wanted to read a post that the elders put on their Facebook page about the abundance of the gifts received. And listen to the encouragement in these elders' words. And this is just the end of a longer letter, but they wrote, "We are so grateful beyond words for the outpouring of love and care for us. We do not have the words to adequately express our appreciation. The liberality of your giving has produced abounding thanksgiving and caused all of us to glorify God." They say, "Please continue to pray for our families. Please pray for us, the elders, that we might make wise and right decisions. We have been humbled by the generosity of our faithful brethren. We have also shed tears and literally trembled as to the grave responsibility that has been placed upon us," talking about receiving and distributing these funds that they're receiving. "We all know about the need that was that arose a couple of months ago in Baton Rouge, and that need was met. An outpouring of love was given all across the nation in the sense of this congregation where Ashley's father is an elder. And the encouragement that these people receive is a testament to what giving can do. And that's one of the things that we have to keep in mind when we have an opportunity to give to others and just be just like Barnabas. When we have an opportunity, the need already may be met, but we give because we know it's an encouragement to others. We want to give to encourage. Paul speaks about this very thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We all remember that Paul, on his third missionary journey, he's going back around to the churches that he has helped establish, and he's gathering support for the saints in Jerusalem who are experiencing a famine at the time. And he's writing to the Corinthians about the gift that they had given. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 12. "For the ministry of this service," talking about the gift that the Corinthians gave to the saints in Jerusalem, "for the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all." Giving encourages others. Barnabas felt that need to give of his money. He sold some land, and he laid the proceeds at the apostles' feet. That is how we can be an encouragement to others. Give of our means, give of our time, give. Another way we can be an encouragement to our brethren, looking at the example of Barnabas, is by believing in others when no one else will. By giving people the benefit of the doubt. We see Barnabas doing this for Paul. Acts chapter 9, verse 19. We know that after Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus, he goes out boldly preaching Christ. Matt talked about this morning, just about the repentance, the great example of repentance that Paul is, how he was one day persecuting Christians and the next day proclaiming Christ in the synagogue. And he goes about boldly preaching Christ in chapter 9, verse 23. Saul kept increasing, 23, "and when many days had elapsed, the Jews plotted together to do away with him." So a persecution arises directly against Paul. But their plot became known to Saul, and they were also watching the gates day and night so that they might put him to death. But his disciples took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him down a large basket. So Paul makes this 180. He's starting to proclaim Christ, and the Jews want to do away with him. And so he escapes the city. And it says in verse 26 that Paul came to Jerusalem, and he was trying to associate with the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. And can you blame them? Here this man was, just a few days prior, was, I'm sure, well known for his actions and his zeal in persecuting the way, as it was called. And so he's trying to assemble or associate with the true disciples. And they're a little wary of them. And can you blame them? Because they didn't know about Paul's experience on the road to Damascus. But we see our man Barnabas here in verse 27. Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles and described to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had talked to him and how at Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. Now, when you read the account of the conversion of Paul on the road to Damascus, is Barnabas there? We don't know if Barnabas was there. He probably was not. But he took this man and he saw his actions and he believed in him that he had truly made, with a repentant heart, made a commitment to the Lord. Barnabas vouched for Paul. And can you just imagine how this may have lifted Paul's spirits? Can you just imagine how when he comes to Jerusalem and he's trying to associate with the disciples and how they're wary of him and they're afraid of him. They don't believe him about what he's saying about his new confessed faith in Christ. How that may have made him felt. But then here comes Barnabas with this encouraging word, this commitment of, hey, look, Paul had an experience. He saw our Lord. And he made a change. In fact, it was such a good change that he was boldly speaking out in the name of Jesus. Barnabas was a man who would vouch for somebody, who gave Paul the benefit of the doubt. Sometimes people just need to hear about their own good qualities. They need to hear it from our own mouths. Sometimes we may tear people down, but we need to focus on telling people about the good things that they're doing. Give people the benefit of the doubt, believing in others when no one else will. Be an encouragement to others. Barnabas also exhibits this very thing in what we know about John Mark, who was his cousin. In Acts chapter 15, Acts chapter 15 and verse 36, the second missionary journey is kicking off. It says that after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." And Barnabas was desirous of taking John, called Mark, along with him also. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. For some reason, on the first missionary journey, in Acts 13, verse 13, John Mark left the group. Doesn't say why, doesn't give any reason. But for whatever reason, that did not sit well with Paul. Knowing the characteristics of Paul, he was a very driven man. And seeing any kind of wavering from somebody, it seemed like he just maybe didn't want to put up with somebody who was on the fence about something. And so, on this second missionary journey, Barnabas wanted to take John Mark, but Paul said no. And so, what does Barnabas do in this situation? Verse 39, there arose such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another, and Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. Barnabas showed faith in John Mark. He knew what John Mark had done before. Barnabas was right there with him. But for some reason, for whatever reason, Paul didn't want to take John Mark. Barnabas did. He shows that faith in people. He gives people the benefit of the doubt. And John Mark obviously took this act of faith and grew in leaps and bounds because Paul writes positively about John Mark in Colossians 4 and verse 10. And he also asked Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11, he asked Timothy to bring John Mark with him because, quote, Paul says that he is useful for service. Wow, what a turnaround that John Mark made, at least in the eyes of Paul. Before, Paul said, no, I don't want him to come. Now he's saying, please bring him. He's useful for service. And it may be because John Mark had somebody show faith in him. You know, we all make mistakes sometimes. And sometimes it just takes a pat on the back and a kind word from somebody and an encouraging word from somebody to lift that person up and get them to try again, to try to do better. That's what we can focus on with our brothers and sisters. Encourage one another. As Paul says in his 2 Corinthians letter, chapter 2, verse 5 through 8, he instructs the Corinthians to reaffirm your love. He's writing about someone who is repentant of their actions. And Paul says, lest ye become overwhelmed with sorrow. And that's a bad place to be overwhelmed with sorrow. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 5 through 8. He tells the Corinthian brethren to reaffirm your love for the brethren who have fallen away but are coming back. You know, I oftentimes think of, when I'm thinking about giving people the benefit of the doubt, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which of course is the chapter that we all talk about when it comes to love. It describes what love is and what love does. In verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 13, it describes that love bears all things and believes all things. Now, I've not really studied that believes all things in depth, but I take it to mean, and somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but that means that love gives people the benefit of the doubt. It turns an eye whenever they could be condemning. Love believes all things. And this verse reaffirms how we can encourage one another by giving everyone the benefit of the doubt whenever you see a true action towards repentance. So, Barnabas was an encouragement by giving of his means. He was an encouragement by believing in others when no one else would. And I think we can also see from Barnabas that we can be an encouragement to others by being willing to take action. By being willing to take action. Turn to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, verse 22. Acts 11, verse 22. And the news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, them being the Gentiles who had believed the gospel message. It reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. And then when he had come and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. And so when the Christians at Jerusalem heard about the Gentiles receiving the word, and they wanted to encourage the church at Antioch, who did they send? They sent Barnabas. Look at verse 25. Barnabas left for Tarsus to look for Saul. Verse 26, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came about that for an entire year they met with the church and taught considerable numbers, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So not only did Barnabas go to Antioch to see those Gentiles, to encourage them, but he also went and sought Saul, Paul. And he said, hey, you got to come see this. You got to come work with these people. Look at what these people are doing. These Gentiles are doing such a good job about receiving the gospel message. So he seeks out Saul, brings him to Antioch, so that he too can be a part of the encouraging word. Verse 28 of Acts chapter 11. And one of them, named Agabus, stood up and began to indicate by the Spirit that there would certainly be a great famine all over the world. And this took place in the reign of Claudius. And so, verse 29, and in the proportion that any of the disciples had means, each of them determined to send a contribution for the relief of the brethren living in Judea. And this they did, sending it in charge of, guess who? Barnabas and Saul to the elders. So, you see three instances here where there is something that needs to be done. And who do the men from Jerusalem and the elders at Antioch choose to do it? They choose Barnabas. And I put it to you that these examples are possible because Barnabas was willing to do these things. He wanted to do these things. He was eager to do these things. In Acts chapter 13, another example of Barnabas being chosen to do something. When the first missionary journey comes up, there were at Antioch, verse 1, Acts 13, in the church, there were at Antioch in the church that were there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who is called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who has been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. Verse 2, and while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. The Holy Spirit specifically chose Barnabas and Saul. I put it to you again, it's because they were willing to do those type of things. And so, a practical example of how we can use this, look at the Lord's church today. We can be an encouragement to others by being willing to do things. And I think this congregation is a wonderful example of that. You know, the list to give Miss Blanche and Miss Doris rides, it stays full. Yeah, there's a few blanks every now and then, but for the most part, everybody signs up for that. You know, all the meals, anytime somebody needs a meal, the lists fill up so fast. The men here are so encouraging to me because they're willing to get up here and teach and preach and lead singing. That encourages others. I like what Matt said in one of his invitations. You know, if you want to grow, he gave a lesson on growing. If you want to grow, just say yes to Ennis. If Ennis asks you to do something, just say yes. Doesn't matter what it is. You may not have ever done it. It may be uncomfortable to do. But that's how you grow. And I also add to that, that is such an encouragement to others to see people willing to do the work. I tell you that that is one of the reasons why I'm able to stand here before you today and to preach, to teach a lesson. While I was in college, I was surrounded by some wonderful roommates who were good examples for me. I saw them striving to better themselves, to get up and preach a lesson or teach a Bible class. And that encouraged me. I looked at them and said, you know what? If they can do it, I can do it. And so that is another way we can encourage others by being willing to do the work. Having that attitude of, send me, I'm willing to go. Yes, I will do it. You know, I've had Ennis's job in previous congregations of making the list of duties for men to do during service. And I can tell you, it is such an encouragement when you ask somebody to do something and they just say yes. You know, sometimes you get folks who come back with, well, I don't know, I've never done that. Maybe not this time, maybe next time. And you work with them, you say, okay, we'll get you up there soon. But it's so much more encouraging when you ask people to do things and you know the answer is yes, and that is what the answer is. Barnabas could have made any excuse to not do the things that he did. You know, Lord, I can't go to Antioch. You know, I've got something going on this weekend. No, I can't go on this journey. You know, I'm too busy with work. But Barnabas had the right mindset. He said, send me, I'm ready to go. He was eager to take action in the Lord's church. And he was a son of encouragement. He was full of encouragement. So God has given us this precious thing, this group of people that you're sitting with, this church, this assembly. And it's a very valuable support group to help each other get to heaven. And we need to make sure that we're constantly seeking and striving to do that, encouraging one another. Be like Barnabas. Give of ourselves, give of our time, give of our means to others. Show faith in others. You know, give people the benefit of the doubt. If people say that they've repented and turned away from a sin, we got to believe them and encourage them to continue doing that. And we need to be willing to take action. Whatever the work comes before us, say yes. Say yes, I'll do that. Here I am, send me. So let's thank God for the example of Barnabas. Let's be an encouragement to one another. I know I need your encouragement from time to time. I hope that I'm an encouragement to you sometimes when I exemplify these character traits. Well, I hope this lesson has been encouraging to you tonight. If there's anyone here tonight who has a spiritual need, that is what God gave His church for, is to meet the spiritual needs of men. We all have sinned. We all have fallen short of His glory. But praise be to God that He gave us a way to come back to Him through His Son, Jesus. If you have sinned, please know that you're among people who have been there with you. And we want to encourage you and ask you to look inside yourself and submit your will to God and to His Word. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus as Lord. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you've done those things and you've fallen away, the world sometimes gets us all. We ask you to pray for forgiveness. And if you need encouragement from anyone among the assembly, if you need the prayers of the saints, please let that be known while we all stand and while we sing.